Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So excited about prophecy.
Yes.
You know, so we, you know, this is where we're going, things that are happening. If you listen to what God's saying, you watch what God's doing, you'll get very excited. I mean, very excited. But if you listen to the world and what they're saying,
oh, yeah,
you'll get very sad.
Depressed.
I think I would listen to the creator of the universe who has good plans in store for his people. Don't you think so?
And he loves to share his secrets. I mean, he wants to share with his friends.
Yeah, Amos chapter 3, verse 7, I believe it is. He says he doesn't do anything unless he reveals it to his prophets first. And we're seeing that take place. And James Gall is known as a prophet. People, he's heard from the Lord and he's revealed these. For some reason, I'm not sure, but I think Patricia King is in his tribe.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's the apostle for her ministry and others' ministries, I believe. But this word here, he's talking very specifically about where we're going and what's happening. And this is key ingredient that God's talking about. It's so cool because I think about, we've been talking about it and authenticity. You know, people are looking for authenticity and you think, what's wrong with people? It's like, that's where God's taking things.
Oh, yeah.
He's taking things. Can you take a moment, John, and let's just read this word. Let's break it down a little bit so that everybody can hear this word. Because you're going to be very encouraged by it, very encouraged by it.
Well, these are three prophetic trends that he sees. And he says, what are some of the trends in the movement of the Holy Spirit at this time? What are they? He says, where is the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing? We each see in part and we speak in part, 1 Corinthians 13:12. So this is not meant to be an all-inclusive look into the vast subject of what the Holy Spirit is doing today, but rather a glimpse from my vantage point into some of the trends of the Holy Spirit today.
So literally he's talking, you know, we talk about trends in business and trends in clothing and trends in whatever.
Because believe it or not, God's at work. He's doing something.
Yeah,
right?
and you kind of see the patterns of God, some of the things that he's doing. And there's been breathtaking moves that he's been taking. It's been powerful. And I can't even name them all right now because it took over the whole program. But he's saying he's seeing these prophetic trends that are taking place with the body. And that's what we're going to talk about, right?
Yep.
Okay.
The first one is...
First trend,
there will be a love revolution.
Oh, wait a minute. We got... Do y'all know where Pat is?
No, let us swirl over there.
No, seriously, look, think about it. That this is exactly what we've been talking about.
Yes.
You know, I want to get there.
Oh, I've been challenged myself. I'm growing.
Pat and I've been trying to live up to how you're doing.
No.
But, you know, as you think about it, okay, there will be a revolution, a love revolution.
A love revolution.
That's exciting.
So he writes, as I grew up, I loved the song composed by Burt Bacharach, there you go, and recorded by Dionne Warwick, What the World Needs Now is Love.
What the world...
Is
love,
sweet love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Dion. In fact, I think God likes that song. After all, the statement of Jesus is recorded in John 13:35. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another.
Oh, my goodness.
Powerful, isn't it?
What happens if you have a building that says, the church?
No.
What if you have a Bible in your hand?
No.
What if you memorize everything in the Bible?
No.
So you got to have love.
Got to have love. Mm. Jesus has never changed his mind or his original intent for future vision. He wants his followers to have an outstanding characteristic, and it's called love. Mm. With over 42 years of full-time ministry under my belt, let me speak plainly. We need a love revolution in the church.
Can you imagine? Think about this. You haven't been loved all week, and you find somebody who's a Christian, and you can just let down your hair because this person's going to love me. That happens all the time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
He says, but I'm encouraged.
Okay.
Right. I'm encouraged. I see some highly gifted leaders like Mahesh Ashavda, Heidi Baker, Sean Bowles, and others getting this message right.
Heidi, boy. Yeah. Heidi is something else.
Well, this is so important, you know, because a lot of times giftings are lifted and teaching abilities lifted. But the Bible clearly
promoted.
Mm-hmm. And the Bible clearly tells us, and particularly...
Above all things.
Above all things.
Everything hangs on.
Yeah. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, hey, listen, if you don't have love, you can speak the tongues of angels and you can do all these wonderful things.
Right.
But if you're missing love, you have absolutely nothing.
Right.
And so it's wonderful to see this revolution come.
Right.
And it being lifted up and promoted as the most important thing.
Yeah, but by our love for each other, we'll be identified.
Yes.
Not by our sign, not by our big Jesus ring or ring or whatever they wear, or we love.
Love.
And love is what? Patient, love is kind, love is gentle, love is you first.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As we get our aim or sights adjusted in the prophetic and the supernatural movements, the Holy Spirit will have no problem in pouring out higher level gifts. In fact, the book of Romans teaches us that faith works through love. He goes on to say, let me share an abbreviated version of a significant dream from the Holy Spirit that recently shook me. I was sitting with various well-known leaders having a conversation about how to accomplish effective ministry and build networks or wineskins that would stand the test of time.
So actually he's experiencing this dream. What's the next season of the church look like? How do we build around what's going to be needed in the area that we're headed for the church, the growth, the harvest, the people? And so that's the new wineskin. How do we build this thing? That's what we're talking about.
Love. Right? We need love.
But that's what he's saying. This is exciting because we're going somewhere here with this.
Yes.
Because if you've been hearing from the Lord, you know first thing that there's a lot of ways that it's being done that you can go for years without any love at all.
Mm.
Yeah. You read the memo, didn't you?
Yeah.
You got my Christmas card last year, didn't you?
Well, you hear about an unhappy prophet, and it's like those two things don't mix, you know, because God's heart is love, you know, and if you're going to prophesy the nature and the heart of God, you want to prophesy the love of God.
Yeah, some prophet said to one of my friends, he says, you know, I'm just a real hard prophet. And he says, no, you're just mean.
Yeah.
You're just mean. Yeah. It's the last time he came by that particular
church. Last time, huh?
So here he is in this dream. James Gall's having this dream and that they're talking about the new wineskin. What are we going to build?
Yeah. Okay. So he says, I was sitting with various well-known leaders having a conversation about how to accomplish effective ministry and build networks or wineskins that would stand the test of time. I stated with some frustration, my generation does it positionally and functionally, but the next generation wants it done relationally and organically.
This is so exciting because that's exactly what the Lord, you know, outside of what we're doing here at VFN Television, the VFN Dream Center.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we've been focused on for quite some time and how to do it relationally. Because, you know, to me, it's like, why would I want to do it any other way?
Without it, right.
You know, I actually want the environment to love. And this is the greatest reward. If you don't know this, and so many people are so lonely, John, but yet they're a member of a church. And it's like, begin to think about building relationships with people in that church family.
Yeah.
And spending time. You can't be with 10,000 folks, but you could be with a few others.
But it's a mind shift that has to occur because we have to get out of the mindset of doing church to being the church. You know what I'm saying? Well, if we just do church and it's an event, but if we be the church, then we're the church.
How can you go to what you are? All you can do is truly be.
Just be.
And you think about it, that these scriptures when God talks about the church, he's not talking about a building somewhere.
Right.
He's talking about us.
Right.
Because we're the building of Christ. And so it's exciting because James is prophesying the direction that God has taken the VFN Dream Center and other fellowships that are hearing what God is doing. This is the direction. This is where we're going to go. I feel it in my heart. You know, I want spiritual family. I want family.
Yes.
Jesus said when his biological mother and brother was outside the house knocking on the door.
Who?
His mama and his brother. He says, your family's outside.
Yeah.
And he said, well, who is my family? And he looks at all of his disciples around him and he says, those who do the will of my Father. We're called family. We're called family. And love is one of the very specific things. And this is exciting because to do anything without love, it's just like
what's
a tingling symbol
and
all those different things. And people like to shake their gift, what they can do. It's like, but do you love me?
Yeah,
do you love me?
And according to Bob Jones in the prophetic dream he had, he actually passed away, was standing in the line. And the question that the Lord asked him was...
He was standing in the throne room of God.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's standing before God. And he asked him very specifically.
God asked him.
Yeah, God asked him, did you learn to love? And he's like, well, I believe I did. I'm not sure, you know. And
that's important.
But God gave him more life, and so he was revived. Spirit came to his body, and he spent the rest of his life focusing on love.
Hmm.
You know, and that's encouraging because, you know, you could look at people who are brilliant speakers, and you could look at people who have this great ability to study and to read and to memorize scripture. But you may never even know how to read, but you are a deep lover, and you love people. You authentically, people freak out with love. People have wrong perceptions of love. Everything's so twisted that when you love them, they don't even know what it is.
They
put it in the wrong category. It's like, you know, but the thing about it is it's so needed. People are so desperate for it. When they see it, sometimes they don't even know how to respond to it. But look at Jesus. I mean, look at John was laying his head on his chest where he could put one ear on Jesus' chest to hear the heartbeat of God.
Mm.
And the other ear, he could hear the voice of God and the secret of God. This is the man who wrote the book of Revelation when he was a slave in a salt mine, you know, just serving the Lord, hearing from the Lord. And that his disciples, they hung around each other and people, it's just family. Yeah. You know, it's just family.
I think another thing too, when you focus is how to receive the Father's love. We can only give a lot of times what we receive.
Right.
And in order for us to be a good lover, we got to be a good receiver of the Father's love.
Right.
You know, after he pours into us, we can pour that back out to other people.
Right, right. Now you think about Jesus, he took the time to wash the disciples' feet to demonstrate humility and love. And then he tells them, now you go do likewise.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And it's like, man, can you imagine walking into a Crystal Cathedral? It's like, pull out the buckets and the rags. We're going to wash feet today. No. Okay.
Well, Jim.
Nothing against Crystal Cathedral. Hey.
No.
Yeah.
I have one. No, I don't. James says, then I stated, the Lord has a solution. This is in the dream. The Lord has a solution.
Okay.
He wants there to be a love revolution.
Mm.
The group in the dream responded by declaring, well, let's just do it the love way.
Wow, now, that's awesome.
Let's just do it the love way.
Yeah.
He continues to write, the leaders with whom I walk in Nashville, Tennessee, have a statement we often make. We do it better together. I'm here to tell you a simple yet profound new trend. Love will be our aim.
This is exciting. I remember, you know, when I first became a believer and I was just in love with God and love with everything and everybody, I remember sending Christmas cards out to people because I actually knew what Christmas was about. And they were freaking out going, this is the same guy or whatever. And then I met a lot of people who were religious who didn't love. And it was real difficult, but I pursued. But then when God called me into ministry, I mean, love is true love when it's tested.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when, you know, people get married, they're all enamored with each other and stuff. But once you've been married for a while, you know, it was all goo-goo and gaga when the baby was born. But once they're talking and walking.
And you got to clean a few diapers.
Oh,
well, yeah.
That's very easy compared to the other diapers. And the thing is that, but do you love after that? And a lot of people quit. They give up on love, John, because of pain.
Mm.
Because relationship requires you to go through things and to give up part of yourself and to sacrifice. But greater love hath no man than he lays down his own agenda. He lays down his life. And it doesn't look like love, what the world says. The world says love is something that you get in your flesh, something you get in your body. But your heart and your spirit, man, there's just this love. You know, we love meeting with our audience and we love hearing from you and just encouraging words. And we just feel that love and that encouragement. And I want to sign up for our Vine seminars where we explain some of the things that God has shared with us. You can go to VFNTV.com under events and you can sign up for the Vine seminar. And we actually take you through a journey of shifting from a place of it doesn't require love to how do you walk out family? How do you walk that out? It is exciting. I'm telling you. I don't know. I could not do what I'm doing if I did not have family, spiritual family around
me.
That you carry their burdens, they carry your burdens. You love each other, and I just love being with the church. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Love being with the church. We know that, but a lot of our listeners are lonely, even in the context of that. They're like in a big crowd, and you ask questions like, "Well, what does your pastor think about that?" And I was like, "Well, I didn't tell him." I'm like, "Why don't you tell him?" It's like, there's 4,000 people between me and him. I was like, well, who's your vineyard deacon?
Somebody.
And they go, well, that's all. Did you say, oh, I can't because I left a message. And it's like, that's good. But it needs to still microcosm down to It takes another person. You can't love alone.
No.
There has to be another person involved. Agreement requires more than just you.
That's right.
Right?
That's good.
And so I want to encourage you. You were designed for family. You were designed for love. And when you feel yourself ticking down and just kind of just getting weak and you feel yourself, you know, crashing emotionally, you're feeling we're the highest medicated generation there is. You know why? Because we're lacking love.
Yeah.
Love produces all these enzymes inside of our body that how God's, we're chemical beings, and that emotion releases oxytocins and those different things that make you feel good. So we're replacing love with drugs. And it's like,
crazy.
Imagine instead of having to go to your doctor and say, can you give me some more of that mind-numbing stuff, that you say, you know what, I'm going to find a loving church family, and I want to get involved in that. That's what he's talking about.
That's beautiful.
Oh, it's awesome.
A love revolution.
Yeah.
The second thing, the second trend. James Gall was given by the Lord. Mm-hmm. He talks about how carriers of God's glorious goodness. We're going to be carriers of God's glorious goodness. As recorded in Exodus 33:18-19, Moses lifted his heartfelt cry, I pray you show me your glory. And he said, I will myself make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I have loved this passage for many years, but like some of the rest of you, I have never attached the two statements as one continuous thought. God's glory is demonstrated through lavish displays of his goodness.
Can you imagine this? Imagine this. Awesome. That somebody you've never met before shows up and says, I want to introduce this person. I don't know that person. And you find out, well, this person's name is love.
Hmm.
And if you don't know love, you don't know God, for God is love. God even says, if you say you know him, who is love, but you don't love your brother, he says, you're a liar.
Hmm.
That's what he says, right?
Yeah.
And so, and all the people that wrote this, John wrote it, the very disciple that laid his head on love himself, on Jesus. So he tapped into the reality that this is about, isn't that awesome?
Because
the religious folks was outside trying to persecute Jesus, love himself, walking, demonstrating the witness of love. And they, it didn't make sense to them because they were thinking all, you know, buildings and crowds and following this person, following that person. And John, the disciple, is going like, this is love. We found love. For God so loved the world that he gave himself. This is love.
And it's a void that every single person has. Proverbs says it this way, what man desires is unfailing love.
Yeah.
And I knew that was my journey. It's like, Lord, you know, and it's everyone's journey.
Yeah.
Everyone has that deep desire to be loved, and only God can fill that aching desire.
Right.
And once you have him, and you know, it's like, love me more. You know?
Yeah, and when people say, you know, I look for love in all the wrong places, I mean, that's everybody's testimony, because you're trying, you'll try this, you'll try that, you'll try this. And don't let anybody criticize you, for you're actually searching for God.
That's right.
You're searching for God, who is love, and you'll find out all these other things do not satisfy. And so many people get this, and they're just they're more depressed than they were before they got it, because they found that it didn't do anything for them, whether it's position, job, relationships, or whatever. But knowing God, you know, and you can leave love. You can start off in love. And then you can move in, like the Church of Galatians, when he talked to him, he said, who bewitched you? Who cut on you? You know, are you going to all of a sudden do this thing that I told you, that you receive what I've given you by faith and because you believed, or, you know, because of you loved, you believed? And they were doing works and that type of thing. And it just, when it's not about caring about, the reason why you stop and give a homeless man some food is because your heart loved him. You're not checking off a poor box on your religious list that you can go brag to other people that you gave a, because you actually, your heart, you're like, Lord, I just feel, I'm going to give something to this particular person. Does that make sense?
It's powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful. So he continues to talk about the goodness of God. He says, over the last decade, the Holy Spirit has been emphasizing the goodness of God. As many different leaders in recent years have stated, the best kept secret in the body of Christ is that God is in a good mood.
Oh, hold on a minute. Think about that.
Yeah.
He is in a good mood.
Yeah.
He's optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, some people, you know, you know, if God doesn't have a reason to be pessimistic, then why do we have a reason to be pessimistic?
Yeah.
If he's optimistic, if his plans are good for us, but you know what? You can do all that crazy stuff when you don't have love. But that kind of stuff hinders love.
Yeah.
Yeah, we pray quite often, right? That is, you know, Lord, help remove everything from our life that hinders love. And it happens, I mean, you know, all the time. We're venturing out and you get back to love. You get off and you get back to love.
And so many people have all these misconceptions about God, but at the core of who He is, He's love, and He's exceedingly good.
Yeah.
And we'll discover His goodness the more we express gratitude to Him. You know, the more we express, the more revelation we'll receive that, my goodness, God, You are so, so good. Yeah. You know, so we got to learn to give thanks.
Well, I think, too, what's interesting is that you can text a message to someone and somebody who doesn't love. And everything you text to them, they read it with their own heart. Mm. And they're offended all the time by what you're emailing and what you're texting. It's like, what? That was sin and love, but they don't know love. Right. So when they read, when somebody talks to them, they see it as, you're yelling at me. And nobody's even raising their voice because how they don't see things is love. But when you see things as love, you don't walk around offended all the time. You're actually aware of what's actually going on. But how can a spirit be delivered over, you know, letters stacked up to make a sentence that's sent digitally to an email or a text or something like that? It's actually what that person is dealing with in their own heart. And the thing about it is that we can realize that, wait a minute, it's me. And it's like, you know what? You can know the love of God. You know, John and I, you know, we shared our testimonies with a couple other folks, you know, and we shared it at meetmyfather.org. We were on that journey too. We were on the journey. I shared, you know, some of my journey. John shared some of his journey, just some of it. And it was pretty tragic. A lot of things going on. And I'm still on the journey of learning the love of God and coming back to the love of God and being amazed by His goodness. And it's ever revealing. It's not something like, okay, I know it. I mean, he's God. He lives, exists
he's unsearchable.
Outside of, he lives outside of time. And that, you know, our finite minds are not going to just fully grasp it, but He's so awesome. We'll spend eternity just looking at another part of Him being revealed and going, whoa, awesome, holy. I mean, it's just a powerful thing. So, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about, you know, that this is the journey we're going on. And what's so cool is people want family, you know, but they don't think it's for real. Mm-hmm. Or they had family, and you mentioned family reunion. They go, I had that before. You know, I had children before. They killed me. You know, I had a spouse before. She or he hurt me, and I don't want that again. And that's the enemy attacking you from not wanting to move in where God wants you to be and wants you to be fulfilled, is in that loving family relationship. It's not necessarily going to come from somebody you chose to marry or somebody you chose to birth into the world or somebody that you chose to be a responsible child to your parent. But it'll come in the body of Christ. So you can be an unloving biological family and be the most loving person there. They don't receive it, but you keep on loving. But you can show up at your gathering at a coffee shop or where you gather as a church family, and you can get all fulfilled. You know, whether you're at the VFN Dream Center, for example, we sit around tables. We don't all face a certain area because we want to spend that time talking to each other. And it's a powerful what God, miracles happen around those gatherings, living rooms. And it's just, it's exciting. I know we got to go to break, and we're going to come out. We're going to continue talking about these prophetic trends of the Holy Spirit from James Gall. It's exciting and it's affirming. And there's so much fun. I don't know if we're going to get to all of it, but if we don't get to all of it, we'll make it available on VFNTV.com. So excited. We're talking about prophetic trends that are taking place, and James Gall is sharing these, and John and I are reading them and talking about it. So exciting.
Yes.
We've got to hurry up and get to it. What's he talking about next?
Okay. So he continues to say that the revelation of God's goodness is breathtaking. He says, yes, I'm relearning that no matter what, God is good all the time. After all, Jesus brought us the good news. Acts 10:38 boldly declares, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil.
This is important because right before the break, we talked about that the big revelation to a lot of folks is that God's in a good mood.
Yeah.
I mean, He's God.
That's huge. That's huge.
Because
if you don't know God, you're thinking that maybe you're, you know, fearful of Him or you're going to be punished by Him.
Right.
But His heart really is favorably disposed to you, and He loves you.
And understanding that God knew you before you were in your mother's womb, that He knew you before the foundations of the earth and loved you, and He knows the beginning from the end. He exists outside of time. We measure things and think about things in the context of time and that, but eternity is outside of this short period of life. But always you got to tell yourself, oh, God's in a good mood. Well, how come I'm not in a good mood? Maybe I'm not moving in love, right? We talked about
a love move.
Okay. What else is James going to say?
He says, it's now time to turn the corner from show me your glory to let me be a carrier of your glory. This is the key to being naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural.
I love that. Say it again.
This is the key to being naturally supernatural and supernaturally natural.
In other words, signs, wonders, miracles, provision
will follow you.
Yeah, we're sitting in a small gathering on Sunday around a round table, and we're watching a car be provided for someone. We're watching people get hands getting laid on, being prayed for, and just being blessed. And then everybody's one person, I guess, prophesies because they talk about what God said, and another one begins to talk about. It's like scriptural or something. You know what I'm saying? It's
Imagine
pretty awesome.
That.
Yeah, you just do that over and over. And it's interesting. If Jesus did it with 12, why are we trying to do it with 2,000?
Yeah.
If Jesus said, imitate me, and he did it with 12, you know, we got to think about if God chose not to go above 12. I mean, we're talking about we want to reach the multitude. We have 100 countries we're talking to. But you still, when you go home, when you spend time with your fellowship of believers, you need to be in a group of people who know you and you know them. And when they really know you and still love you, that's when you got to quit hiding yourself. You got to put yourself out there, and you'll find out if it's God, they still love you.
Jesus went to the masses, taught the masses, and preached to the masses.
Right.
But he always found himself always with a group of 12.
Isn't that amazing?
We need each other.
And he said, I was faithful with those that you entrusted to me.
Mm.
I mean, how can we be faithful with millions? You can only do the one another's. I know we got to give it to them. You can only do the one another's. Love one another's. Tons of one another's with someone.
Not by yourself. You know? Right?
I just instant messaged them or something. No, that's not one another.
Yeah.
And it's just spending time. And what you find out really about yourself when you spend time with people, that there's a lot of yourself there.
Mm.
And to love someone, you got to give up parts of you. But then you find out the way any parent would has a child, you willingly want to do that because you have no problem, you know, that taking place. So this is, the glory.
Carriers of his goodness.
Naturally supernatural, supernaturally natural. Love it. Organic.
Isn't
beautiful.
That great?
Yes, yes.
So the third trend, we're coming home here. The third trend is a generation of abandoned worshipers. So many of our largest and most significant gatherings in the body of Christ today are extravagant worship events held all around the world. Dare I say that the current move of the Holy Spirit centers around extravagant worship. Psalms 102:18 declares, this will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord.
That's so awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Because he inhabits the praises of his people.
Yeah. When you look at that throughout church history and you look at all these powerful moves, going back even from the Welsh Revival to Azusa Street to what happened in, you know, charismatic movement, 70s Brownsville, all these different things, there's something unique about the worship. You know, there's something awesome when people, the body of Christ comes together.
But they didn't have a soundboard during Dowie's ministry.
No, imagine that.
How did they do that without a mic?
No, with worship. Worship out of their heart. Worship.
Okay.
Yes.
So worship. It doesn't require all that kind of stuff.
No.
It's how you feel.
Yeah.
In your heart.
And your adoration towards God. It's one of the most greatest things you were created to do was to express your love and your gratitude to the Lord.
To me, there's nothing more beautiful than a badly sung song by somebody who has a broken heart for God. It's so anointed, you know, when they're doing, you can listen to some old tapes and some different things, and you're just thinking, man, that's just so beautiful.
And it carries the anointing. I'm just even reminded of a prophetic vision I had about the revival coming. Mm-hmm. Where a group of believers were sitting next to another group of believers who were singing in a different language, but worshiping.
Yeah.
But the presence of God was so powerful, they were just receiving and enjoying the presence of the Lord in that worship.
Yeah, I know we got to go, but listen, I remember in Iraq when they came to a church that obviously spoke Arabic, but they were worshiping God, the Christian church was worshiping God, the anointing dropped powerful. We had that on VFNTV, 6 days in Iraq, powerful. And here they weren't even speaking the same language as we speak, but yet they're loving the same God. And you can just feel the love of God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.